this? I pushed these buttons on the side that we're not supposed to push. It's not muted. There's a bunch of weird 0, 10, 20. Huh? Yeah, I love that. He's still taking care of me. There we go. All right. Can you hear me? Sweet. So, there's probably zero chance that I get through this. So, the only way is to get a little humor involved. So, people have been asking me why Rachel and I have got to move on. Lee will show you some of the things I've had to deal with. You can't unsee that. I mean, are y'all ready for lunch? Rachel took Jordan and Chance's wedding pictures, and she took that one and sent it to me and said, you might need it, so there we go. I'm not a big fan of being in front. I never have been a big fan of being in front. I'm always worried that I'm going to say a bad word or something silly, which I don't say those otherwise. I just get super nervous and think I am. So if I do, I apologize. I told John Loudermilk, is John gone? Oh, there he is. I told John, I don't know, a year ago we were hanging out. I said, yeah, I really don't like to be in front and speak in front. He goes, you know you're kind of in the wrong job, right? Thank you, John, for the obvious. You know Captain Obvious? That's your boy back there. So the only way I'm going to get through this is through the strength of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to pray to him that he helps me through. Lord, I just thank you for this morning. Thank you for who you are and what you've done for me and my family. Just pray that you would help me through. Amen. There's been a lot of funny things that have happened. I told Jeff I was going to mostly tell funny stories and get y'all a lunch early. And then I can probably get a job anytime I want back here. There's been a lot of people that are going to be hard to leave. Billy, there's going to be some of y'all that are easier to leave. Carlene. Carlene is awesome. The rest of the staff was a little easier to leave. Carlene is just, she's, to my personality, she's just really annoying. But, man, when your kids are here, she's so awesome. If you were expecting elegance this morning, you will not get that, I promise. So, but she's just awesome, and it was real hard when we were thinking about transition. Leaving that. I couldn't even do Spuds and Bingo because she had all them VBS things already. We're like 8 months away. And she's got all the VBS. So Billy is awesome too. He will literally do anything you ask. He's also pretty stinking funny. He was moving a fridge one time and it fell down over on his sinuses and it, I don't know what happened, it broke. So he goes to blow his nose and it just puffs him up. His old face. Walked around several days with this just gigantic face, and it was so I did what anybody would do. I put a picture of a blowfish on his door. Of course, Jeff is awesome. And a good friend. He's been a good friend. And a heck of a boss. None of the staff. We get a little cranky, the rest of us. I don't think I've heard Jeff say 3 negative things in 14 years. There's 3 of you that he has. You must be really bad. He just never does. I can real easy. But not him. And I have learned from him. He's crazy about the Cowboys, and he has cowboy goggles, what I say. He has no idea that they're not that good. But he is. I can tell you about Jeff in one word. He cares about everybody in here. And about every situation that we go through and every person that comes in, he cares. And he may not make all the right decisions, but he has always cared. He did one time we were praying up in the youth room, and those couches are really comfortable. And we were all praying around, and I looked up and I noticed that he had fallen asleep. So I kind of snapped at the rest of the staff. I said, let's go downstairs and really act like we've been working for hours. So he came in several minutes later. Wondered how long we had been gone. Yeah, it was funny. So, of course, I did like any youth pastor would do. I put a picture of a pastor sleeping on his door. I had a lot of fun, got to lead a lot of kids to the Lord, and I got to baptize kids in the ocean, I got to baptize them in creeks, got to baptize them here, in water troughs. Man, it's been awesome. I've got to see one of them. All these punks that you work with, they know I don't like to be up here, so what do? They all show up, and I tell them, if you come, I'm going to point you out. So Matt Preston back there was a knucklehead. In fact, he almost got me a divorce. When we first got married, him and his little knucklehead buddies would never leave the youth room. And I'm just married, and I would have to stay up there till 11, 12, I mean, all night. And we would talk about what a high school boy talks about, which is, very shallow. So we did a lot of talking, but he got saved one day. And he has been an awesome dude, and thankful to be a part of his life. And he's a rapper, which I want him to go for that. Got to be a part of a lot of your kids' lives. And at first, before I had kids, I thought y'all were way too controlling and weird. And just leave me alone, I'm 23, I know what I'm doing, kind of attitude. And then I had kids, and now I'm like, I cannot believe you let me take your kids anywhere. So I am very appreciative to those of you that trusted me with your kids' lives. Some of you are not very smart, but I'll tell you the ones that aren't really not smart is the ones that let me go when Lori went. Lori, if you don't know Lori, you should count your blessings, but Lori and I, she took me under her wing when I first came, and we've done a lot of crazy trips together. I got her gas one time in a vehicle. It was one of our first trips. I was putting gas in her car, and if you know Lori, she never stops. Just going. So what does she do? She pulls off from this Antley station with that gas pump in her car, dragging it on the first youth trip. That's Lori Freimeyer. She's also had a food fight with Chris Gay. Is Chris here? She had a food fight with Chris Gay in the vans on I-20 on the way home. I was the more mature one out of that. Been a lot of fun, and I'm very appreciative of those that allow me to be a part of your kids' lives. I took that very serious after I had Charlie. Probably not so much. I appreciate the forgiveness at the beginning. I needed a lot of it there at the beginning. This morning, I just wanted to tell you kind of my story and the things that I'm thankful. When I mentioned that I was going to retire, I didn't really get to tell you guys thank you. And you guys are awesome. And not to brag on you too much, still need Jesus. But for a youth pastor, y'all were so supportive all the time. And the new guys coming in, and expect that for him. It was just very rarely did we have much problem. It was just pretty much support across the board. That's easy to serve under. And I know no different. But you hear horror stories. You guys are not that way. And I know the staff is very appreciative of that. And this staff works hard and was fun to be a part of. But I wanted to tell you guys my story and end on that. About 15 years old when I got saved. And I got saved because my dad made me. And got baptized because he made me, which was probably all right thing. I guess that's good parenting, but went on, and as my relationship grew with the Lord, I was here. I think there's phases in life and in your walk with the Lord. And one day I went over to, I'd been working here for about a year, and I went over to a Bible study. It used to be called Grace. A lot of the 90s kids will know what I'm talking about. It was called Grace, and there'd be 1,800 or so college students over there, and we would go and listen. And so one day I was over there, and this guy was preaching on just the sovereignty and the beauty of Christ and the beauty of God and the might and the power. And man, it just struck a chord with me. And so I want to read to you this. "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, and the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience." This was the first time when I heard that, Ephesians 2, that I was dead in my transgressions and sins. And this was really the first time I ever realized that, you know, dead people don't do many things. Other than at Weekend at Bernie's, dead people just kind of chill. They're not making a lot of decisions. They're not going out. They're not deciding really anything. So I found great freedom in knowing that I was really dead and had no ability to make decisions. Really, I was stuck. I know at that time I felt stuck, and I know we all do at times, really feel dead to just these things we're battling on with. And so that brought me a lot of freedom. So we continued on. "Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging in the desires of our flesh and of mind. And we were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." Now, this doesn't make sense. I have preached this a ton of times to the youth, and this makes no sense to them. Because when you tell a kid that you're a children of wrath, which just means you're a bad dude, you're sinful, when you tell a child that, they don't get it, right? They don't understand it. But when you tell a parent that, they get it. It was real early on. We were going, some friends of ours asked us to go to Oplin and dance, and we took Charlie. Charlie, do you want to go? Do you want to go? Yes, we went. We get out there. Oh, I'm sick. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. She lying. We knew she wasn't sick. She was completely lying. She got embarrassed or something got off, you know, and so she just pouted in the corner, which frustrated us to no end. We drove all the way out. So I promise you, we homeschool. Rachel doesn't teach our girls to lie, but they lie. And if I go home on lunch and Rachel is teaching them the abilities to lie, okay, here's how you do it, girls. You really want to hone in on this stuff. Not doing that. Those kids lie from day one. Chapel, that little girl, she is already at two manipulating. Mom said I can. Rachel, did you say it? No. I mean, who just born into it? She's just born into it. And when you become a parent and you see your child, you're like, yeah, I didn't teach them that. I hope my wife didn't teach them that. They're just born into this. We are born children of wrath. We are born dead in our trespasses and sins. We are born in need of a Savior. So let's go on. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love for with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved. This is the key. When I found out this at young, 24 years old, when I found out that I was dead in my trespasses and sins, and I was stuck in them, and there was no getting out, but only God, being rich in His mercy, His grace, only by Him do I become saved. Only by Him did I get to do youth ministry. Only by Him do I get to be a parent and a husband, and only by the goodness of God. No other reason. Nothing earned. If we can get into that as believers, the real issue with believers that get stuck is we begin to make it about us. And your youth pastor for 14 years never taught them. I never wanted to teach the kids that they were the problem, that they were the issue. What I wanted them to know is that God is the answer. He just is. And raised us up with Him, seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. For grace you have been saved through faith, and not by yourselves. It is a gift from God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. This plays out in several different ways. It's hard. I heard a pastor say one time, it's like a random guy in the mall handing you $1 million check. You're going to take that check, and you're going to walk questioning that check to the bank. You're definitely going to go to the bank. But you're going to walk that check to the bank going, I wonder if this is going to cash. You're going to try it. For sure, but you're going to be confused. Is it going to cash? I don't know. If you happen to run into Bill Gates or any wealthy human being and he hands you $1 million, you will celebrate at the handing of the check. Why? Because you understand who gave you the check. If he's a billionaire or a millionaire and he gives you a check for $1 million, you know it's got $1 million. If you don't know Him, you may be questioning the gifts. The more that we study ourselves, the more we get off. The more we study God and who He is, and that when He promises you something, we're talking about God here. We're talking about the beginning and the end. We're talking about a being that when He sent His Son, He knew nothing could take Him out. And when He came back, I told the youth all the time, He could float. Anybody that can float gets my attention. If they can float, I'm paying attention. We forget who has given us Scriptures. I think at times Scriptures come boring for people, but they forget who wrote the Scriptures. Ultimately, Christ God wrote these scriptures for us to learn. The backing behind this is all-knowing. I tell youth all the time, everything you could want in this earth is right here. All comfort, all joy, all happiness, everything you can find is right here. You can search, older people, we know that we can search all around, but it all lies right here. The more that we make this man-centered, the more we will get off. When I die and go to the pearly gates, I am not going to answer when God asks me, why do I get in? Jared, I was 14 years youth ministry. I'm getting nowhere. I'm going to answer, I don't know why Jesus decided me, but he decided me. I don't know why. I'm an idiot. But he decided me. And what's beautiful is all of you too. You're here for a reason. God has ordained this morning. He's ordained this 14 years of serving together. He's ordained all these things together for you to be here. He chose you. That's amazing. That a God so high and so mighty, with all these millions of people, would choose us here, Abilene, Texas. What we have today is a gift. It has been a gift of the Frasers to serve you. Wiley Wise, he's a real punk. Right before we're walking up here, he told Rachel now that he loved us. That was a real punky thing to do. We love you too, Wiley. We love all of you. I wish some of y'all would just be mean today. Being so nice, John. Rachel and I really do love you guys. We're not dying. We're just moving. We're very appreciative to you guys. You'll be in our prayers. I ask that you pray for us. I haven't had to get up before 10 o'clock in 14 years. I'm not sure I'm ready for the real world. We need your prayers. The youth ministry needs your prayers. Brent, as your new guy, needs your prayers. Thankful for your financial support and your love. Stephen Gray asked me, hey man, you want to come help us at youth? And Jeff took me to Buns, what was that, Buns Over Texas, which at the time made no sense because I had to kind of somewhat interview and like, Jared, your buns are up. Now that I know Jeff, it makes perfect sense. Like, you know what I mean? I mean, that, how fitting is that? I told him, no way, man, I'm not doing it. I told Stephen, I'm not into it. I don't want to get up in front of people. And he took me to the youth room, which was down there, and man, the minute I walked in, I was like, golly, I got to do it. Been a lot of fun. Thankful to you guys, and we love y'all very much. I guess I'm done. I don't know. I'll call you back up.
Sharing meal, and I was thinking, you know, when Jesus served this meal for the first time, he had been with these men for 3 years and had seen all sorts of things. They had seen Jesus raise people from the dead. They had seen him walk on the water. They had seen him calm the storm and cure leprosy and blindness and all of these things. And I would love to have some of the things that when they're sitting around just the guys. You know that he just did guy things, right? And just being friends. And Jesus, can you imagine him knowing that night everything would change? Everything would change. This 3-year relationship he's had with these men would forever be altered. The very next morning. And he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body broken."
Thank you. And then he took the cup and he blessed it and he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many." Change is hard. Change is hard. And Jared said it so beautifully that God is the answer to everything. I mean, nothing stays the same. Nothing stays the same. So as we come to this meal today, if you would, we come as not as a perfect people, but as a redeemed people. We come and the first step towards this table is a step of repentance, recognizing that, as Jared said, we're born into this with this condition of sinfulness on us, and this meal is the answer. This meal is the answer, the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So if you would bow your heads and just in your own heart, just confess your sins before a holy God. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Amen. If those who are serving in the praise team, sound team, would come forward. Christ our Lord invites us to this table. It's not my invitation. It's not our church's invitation. The invitation comes from Christ. If you repent of your sins and if you've called on Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're welcome to this table. I also want to tell you it's okay if you don't wish to be served. We want to honor that as well. But I hope you feel welcome if Christ is your Savior, that you are welcome at this table. There's two stations here and two stations over here. You'll be given a piece of bread and you dip it into the cup and partake in that manner. And the center aisle has the individual cups and the individual crackers that you can come and be served in that manner. The invitation is made. Come. Lord, I need you, oh, I You can be seated for just a few more minutes. You know, when I became pastor, it was September of 2002. And is Pat here? I think. Okay. Pat and I were the staff. And I did youth ministry and children's ministry and worship leading and all that stuff for several months. And after a few months, the SPRC said, we'd like to give you a raise. And I said, give me staff. I need staff. That's what I need. About February, was it, Jared? Of 2003, just a few months after I became pastor, this knucklehead. Stephen, where are you at? Stephen Gray. Stephen told me he had this cousin. He said, he's young, but he's willing. And I don't really know what to say, except I just love the guy. When he came in and told me he was leaving, you know, I knew it was coming someday, and I want to bless y'all. I want you to be blessed, and I know God's got a new chapter for y'all, but doesn't make it easy. said he was leaving, and we were both kind of fighting it in the office that day. I told him he was like a son. Of course, I would have been 12 when I had him, but that's okay. He's like a son to me, and he's like like cutting off a leg to lose him. Love this family, these precious little girls and Rachel. And you know, Rachel, I just want to tell you that I was with him in that journey when he was watching for you. And he knew what he wanted in a wife. He wanted a godly woman. he did good. He did really good. So I'm just going to miss you guys, and our church is going to miss you guys. You know, 14 years, that's a long time. In youth ministry, if you get two years out of a youth minister, you've done pretty well. And Jared's learned, and he's grown. Like he said when he was sharing earlier that before he had kids, I said, Jared, people have to know where you're going, when you're going, and when you're going to be home, you know? You can't just, hey, tonight at 5, be here, and we're just going to go somewhere. You know, I said, dude, you gotta communicate to the parents, man. And but he's learned those things. And I think it's interesting as he was sharing that, you know, you saw the youth pastor kick in. Did you see it kick in? When he's trying to be all funny, you know, and telling all the funny little stories and all, but then he couldn't help himself. The youth pastor kicked in on him there, and he brought the word. So I want to invite you guys up, and we're going to pray for y'all. There is a gift here that the church has collected a love offering for you guys. Stop looking at me, you big galoot. And there's some letters in here, some folks that want to say thank you to you. I'm sure you've even probably gotten some privately, but there's some of them you probably didn't, some of the people you didn't even know could write. Lahan wrote a letter, so. Before I get anybody to come up, if you have been a youth in Jared's youth group, past or present, would you mind standing up? Just kind of all the Utes. The first two girls he corrupted was my girls. They've not been the same since. Lots of your youth here. And if you are a parent or a grandparent of a youth that's been in Jared's ministry, stand up with them. Y'all, you youth, just keep standing. You've left a mark, brother. You've left a mark. So if anybody wants to come up, Mom and Dad are here. Jared's mom and dad are here. We're glad to have you guys, or Dad. With the new baby, okay. Anybody else, all the youth, parents, grandparents, what, anybody that wants to come up, anybody, you don't have to have a youth that was in his ministry. A lot of lives eternally for the kingdom have been impacted. All right, well, let's pray as we close today. Lord, sometimes loving hurts. Father, I'm just thankful that you shared Jared and Rachel and the girls with us for 14 years. God, I pray in Weatherford that you would find friends and churches. And if you've got people for them to impact, God, that you would just bring them their way. I pray that peace that passes understanding would fall on them as they leave, God, that they would know that. I know that this decision was not made without prayer. And I know that you are in it. Even though it hurts, God, I know that you are in it. It's a new chapter. It's a new chapter for the Frasers. So, Father, go before them and bless them. And once again, we just rejoice, God. If we didn't hurt, it's because we didn't love. And so, Lord, I even thank you for the pain today. Jesus, you are good. You are good. And we just love you. And we love the Frasers. Bless them. In Jesus' name, amen. Go and be blessed. Share the love of Christ. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed.